thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Psalm 46, that's where we're at. It's famous for verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." So this is one of those psalms that has one of what for many people is one of their top 10 psalm verses. Let me read these words, starting with the verse prior to verse 1, which is a verse in the scriptures as well. It's considered part of scripture. So are the little musical indications. I'll say those, and those might indicate a change of something that happens in the musical score. We don't really know. We don't know what it sounded like. But we know this was set to music meant to be performed by a choir in high temple worship. Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we say amen to this. We understand that what you're saying here is necessary for us. There might be some resistance in us to you, to your word. Would you remove that? Would you give us the ability to hear and to see and to think and to receive what you have for us in your word? These are powerful words. These are words that people hold on to when they have little else to hold on to. And maybe some of us in the room feel that way right now. And so, Lord, let this be a moment when we really do hear from you. And we know what we're hearing. And we understand what it means. And we understand what to do about it. That's from you. That's what we're asking for. And we pray that you're glorified by it. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Stop. When you're operating a motor vehicle and you see a stop sign before you, the law is clear. You are required to stop. The stop sign is there for a reason. It is there for your safety, for your good, and for the safety and good of others utilizing the roads. But what do people do when they see the stop sign? Sometimes they stop, but sometimes they don't stop. They kind of just slow down a little bit, right? Or they drift. Or they blast right through. I'm in a hurry. Get over it. Your little rules are not my problem. Now, what happens then? Well, sometimes there's an accident, you know, people get hurt, cars get damaged, or other times people get caught and drivers get pulled over. And then the stop sign transforms into like this brilliant light show. And then you're issued, offered a handwritten invitation to a get together at a local courtroom. So we understand the stop sign, the red light, but it's this sign that mistakenly was up before, the yield sign, the yellow light, that for many people is a great mystery. Now, what does it mean? Does it mean to slow down or speed up? And right now, out on the roadways, you can witness that confusion. And I think for many of us, Psalm 46, verse 10, the famous verse from the psalm we're looking at, feels a little bit like that yield sign, that yellow light. Be still and know that I am God. The first few dozens of times I heard this preached, it was really offered as a kind of biblical therapy. God saying, slow down, take it easy, take a deep breath, chill out, I got this. It's a yellow light, maybe, or a yield sign. And most of our English translations make it seem so. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Or maybe how we read it these days because we're so used to it. It's so familiar to us. And yes, it is saying to us that it's going to be okay. In the end, don't sweat it. Pretty common advice, always generally pretty good advice. Good counsel. Better than that, God is bigger than your biggest problem. This is good stuff. But check out this next slide. It represents a translation from the same Hebrew words, the exact same Hebrew words, just a different English translation. It's a modern, it's from year 2000 actually, relatively modern translation. The JPS translation, the Tanakh, that's what Jewish people call what we call the Old Testament. So this is a modern translation of the very same words that we have translated, be still and know that I'm God. Here is the JPS translation. Desist. Realize that I am God. I dominate the nations. I dominate the earth. Now, that doesn't feel at all like a yield sign, does it? Or yellow light. That is much stronger. And it really clears the air a little bit on our translation. Be still. That does mean stop, desist. Doesn't feel that way, I think, when you're trying to get your kids or your German Shepherd, if you have one, roaming your house, like some people, like I do. You want the dog to stop or the kids to stop. You don't say, be still. You say, stop. And I can't tell if the kids understand or the German Shepherd. I don't know that they just look at me. Stop, stop what? But you want them to stop. And so that's what this verse is saying. It's more a command than it is a comfort. And it certainly is comfort. It can comfort. It does comfort us. But this is a command. And so what's primary about these words is that they are words to obey. And obedience is superior to therapy or coping or getting by or getting through the night. God wants all that for us, but he wants more. He offers himself. And we find this offer right there in the beginning of Psalm 46, and it's kind of the second most famous verse from this psalm. Now you have the preamble, which is a verse in the Hebrew Bible, by the way. It's considered verse 1, and what we have is verse 1 is verse 2. And the preamble is to the choir master, so we know this is a great choir work. This is written by the sons of Korah. We know those guys, they don't have as many hit psalms as David. David is the number one hit psalm writer. But the sons of Korah write those special songs, those special psalms, the ones when you need them, you need them. When you're in that state, when you're in that place, you have songs like that. You don't listen to them all the time, but when it's time, you skip by the other CDs at the 7:30 service. I said CDs or cassette tapes or 8-tracks, because that's who comes to my 7:30 a.m. service. Some of them are here, maybe too. I don't know. But, and maybe you understand, but you have that special music, and the Sons of Korah are like that. They make these special songs that are emotionally accessible and immediately let us know that God knows the condition of our hearts, really. We don't know what Alamoth means. Again, it's a tune. We have a little more information about it because in 1 Chronicles 15:20, there's a tune of temple worship of some sort with harps set. You know, Alamoth is the tune there as well. And we know that the word Alamoth sounds a little bit like the Hebrew word for virgin. So maybe there's something to that. But we're just guessing on that. But we're not guessing when it comes to what we have is verse 1, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I mean, we know that when we're in trouble, when the walls are caving in, when the ground is coming apart beneath us, when we're about to lose everything, he's really our only place to turn, our best place to turn. And it's a little weird phrasing there, a very present help. It sounds like Bible talk or religion talk a little bit. It just means he's really, really helpful. He's right there, he's with you, and he's really helpful. And it's just trying to match the way the Hebrew words look. But he's there, and no one can help you more than God. Especially in those moments when no one is even offering the kind of help that he can offer. So this whole psalm can be described in a few sentences. You're being commanded to stop at the end of it. And before that, you're being told why you must stop, why you can stop. Now, you might be asking, stop what? Maybe you're not, or maybe you're thinking you would ask that. Most of us know what we're supposed to stop, whatever sin or something that's sin-promoting, something that's sin-based in our lives. There's all kinds of variations of that, all kinds of things that spin out from that. Our anxiety, our complaining, our whining, our disbelief, our panic, our lust, our addiction. All these things, they can be summed up by one word or be seen as sourced by one word, and that word is fear. So we fear, and then we surrender to the something or someone that we fear. We position ourselves as powerless before whatever this thing is, whatever that sin is, that addiction, that thing we're hiding. You know, we can't do it. We don't want to talk about it. And that thing becomes, I mean, might as well call it Lord in our lives because it's running the show. And God is saying, stop, desist. Be still when it comes to that. Don't do that anymore. Now, you hear stop in various forms throughout the Bible, and probably the one form that's most prevalent is that a form used by the angels when they appear throughout Scripture. Sometimes God himself, when he appears, when he's speaking, he starts not by saying stop, but something closely related to it. He starts by saying, fear not, stop with the fear and everything that spins out from that. And that brings us to the next verses 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear. And now everything that follows is stuff that would make you scared. So therefore, we will not fear really scary stuff. I mean, imagine we're here now. I don't know if you noticed, but the windows have been cleaned, and you probably noticed the cracks in the front there when you walked in before, and some of you might have wondered, did I do that? Probably. But we covered over it, okay? And it got painted over. So isn't that nice? Now imagine right now, yeah, there you go. New chairs, a bunch of work was done in the last week or two. Imagine though, right now, in fact, the cupola was sealed. So when it really rains, it drips. So right about here, you get a little baptism. Yeah, right there during the service, if it really started raining. And it's happened before. And sometimes you walk in and you see the bucket there. Well, Now we don't need a bucket anymore. But imagine the cupola just started shaking, and the nice clean windows, one of them just kind of fell apart, and new cracks started appearing, and the whole place was shaking, and maybe my mic is still on. And I'm saying, don't worry about it, folks. Don't be afraid. You'd be like, yeah, we're out of here. All right, you could stay here and not be afraid and not worry about it. We're leaving. Well, that's kind of the feel here. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. Okay, that's about as scary as it can get. Yeah. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. You can't even imagine that amount of violence, that amount of force, some kind of explosion, something huge. Mountains being tossed there, moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters, the sea's waters, roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And then it says Selah. I always picture that as like when they bring the power cord in. Selah. Is that'll work for you? No. It works for me. I guess I'm old, because that's kind of a rock and roll thing, and rock and roll is for old people now. Amen, right? Rock on. 50 plus. We got it. Yeah. Yeah, they're still out there, the Rolling Stones and other groups, and they're in their 80s or something. Yeah, so anyway, that power chord hits, the choir music changes, but we're being told, don't fear all the stuff that's scary. And some people think this is why this psalm is really about a specific rescue that God performed. Maybe this is when he rescued King Hezekiah and the people of God from the Assyrians in 2 Kings 18 through 19, or maybe King Jehoshaphat from Moab and Amnon in 2 Chronicles 20. One of my commentaries says this about it all. But whatever its origin, like so many psalms, its verses overflow the banks of a limited historical rescue and point to something grander, a salvation that is cosmic in its scale. Amen. Now, to bring it down to earth, the point is we all have our problems, real problems, scary problems. And Psalm 46 is telling us to stop having a problem with our problems. Because when we have a problem with our problems, then we won't face our problems. We won't admit our problems. We won't receive solutions that are given to us for our problems. And when we have a problem with God, well, that's what it means when we have a problem with our problems, because God is sovereign, so he's over all the problems. And that's part of what we're being taught in this psalm. And let's get it out there in the air. So God is either God over all of it or none of it. So the good things and the bad things, the things that you hate, the things you wish had never happened, the things you wish had happened but never did, all of it. He is God over all of it. It passed through his fingers. He signed off on all of it. And I know that hurts. The alternative is far worse, that God and Satan are in some kind of contest, and who knows who's going to win? We're rooting for the good guy. No, that's no God at all. Not one worthy to be called God. Not one that fits or matches the description of God in his word. Not at all. So we are not given permission by the Bible to erase or eclipse God during the hard times and say, well, if God had his way, it wouldn't be like this. No, 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 never are we to present or accept a presentation of God as one who is helpless, as one who is unaware. And this is good news. It might not seem like good news, but it is good news, because when these things happen or don't happen, when our hearts are really ripped apart, are broken, we want to let someone have it. And that's evidence in yourself that there is a God, by the way, because you want to talk to somebody about this. And the only somebody is God himself. And he's telling you, come talk to me. He's giving you the words to use to talk to him during those moments in some of our Psalms, in the book of Job. Even Jesus, near the end of his life, shows us this is how you talk to God when you don't like what's coming at you from God. That's the environment here. That's the truth. And it can be off-putting sometimes because we want God to be this kind of soft love marshmallow in the sky, right? And all the sweet stuff comes from him. The bad stuff comes from somewhere else. Well, in a way of speaking, that can be true. The bad stuff comes from us most of all. And there's all kinds of initiators of bad stuff. But God is God over it all, or he's God over none of it. Amen? He's God over it all. And that's how you can get comfort from him. That's how you can get strength from him. That's how you can call on him and say, your word says this, God, and I want to hold you to your word. And that's what he looks for. That's what faith does. It holds God to his word. And those moments when you're having it out with God because your heart is broken and your eyes just, you don't think there's any tears left, and you're quoting his word to him, that's high worship to him. Because you don't do that unless you're a believer. You don't do that unless you have faith. And your healing comes from that. Your perspective, the rescue that he is performing for you and in you, that's part of it. And all that is here in the scene of this psalm. Our problems can blind us to the character of God, the reality of God. They can seem bigger than him. They're not. They do not erase him. They do not eclipse him. If you think they are, if somehow you're moving in that direction, then heed the command of the psalm and stop, desist, be still, and know that he is God. Be still and know, here's something else to be reminded of as we work through the psalm leading up to that verse. There is a river, know this, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So look at what happened here. We're looking at the sea, the fierce and terrible sea in these verses. It's roaring. It's foaming. It's deadly. And by the way, that is how people viewed the sea, how Old Testament people viewed the sea. It wasn't a good thing. The sea is where you die. The sea is dangerous. I know we like to sit on the beach and watch the sunset. And, you know, we enjoy that. But back in the day, people didn't enjoy that. That's the sea. I'm going the other way. I don't want to be near that. I don't want to be on that. That's scary. That's deadly. A good place would not have that in it. So I need to get to some other place where there's not this danger, this unpredictability, this total lack of control, this fear everywhere. But look at what happens just in these verses here. Now suddenly, the waters that we fear or were tempted to fear are transformed into waters that bring us life. He takes us from the clutches of destructive and dangerous and deadly sea waters, ocean waters, and he brings us, he places us on the banks of this beautiful, breathtakingly beautiful river. He takes us from death to life. The city of God is now safe. When we're in the throes of fear, we crumble under its weight. It threatens everything that's important to us, everything we love. and we turn to God because God says, turn to me, trust in me. And what happens? The next day happens. Dawn happens. A new day. And that's the picture here. I know you're in the middle of the long, dark night of your soul, if you happen to be. That night will come to an end. That night will be stopped itself by the dawn. And that's the picture here in these verses. The next morning will come, and we will see, and we will be glad, and we will see how he has been faithful and how he has brought us through our trouble. The new day has dawned. Over and over again, you see this imagery in the Psalms and throughout the Bible, especially the Psalms. Stop doubting him. Desist from ignoring him. What does he rescue us from? It goes back to that. Ourselves. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah, another power chord in the song. He rescues us from ourselves, our wars, our pride. He shields us from chaos, the chaos inside of us, the chaos outside of us. The Lord of hosts means the Lord of armies. This is military imagery here, the imagery of conflict. He's faithful in the midst of us. He's the same faithful as he's always been. That's what God of Jacob means. Jacob is the son of Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham. Abraham is where faith began in Genesis chapter 12 when God said to Abraham, go. And Abraham, what did he do? He went. That's faith. And so the same God, the one and only God of the Bible, is our God, the God we're to trust in, the God we're to behold, the God we're to see as faithful. Always, especially when it doesn't feel like it, especially when we're in the middle of the storm, especially when the earth is collapsing underneath our feet. Trust in him. Trust in him. He says, come behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And that's related to these verses that we just looked at. Here is war. Here is the ultimate expression of human might and conflict. And God gets rid of it all. All the stuff that's in the news that we're scared of, he gets rid of it. He eliminates it. It goes away. Everything goes away. Everything that's trending, everyone that's popular, every celebrity movement, every form of media, every app is going to be updated by another app or replaced by another app. Every trend. I try to stay up with the trends with my 15-year-old, and I can't. And the minute I identify a trend, she identifies that trend is dead. You have eliminated. And so there's this very annoying, it's in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article about it. I hesitate to mention it, but I'm trying to tease my daughter about it all the time. And she's like, Daddy, stop. And the trend is that if you say two numbers to get, see that? Isn't that terrible? It's a true evidence of rampant brain rot, right? Throughout the planet. So yes, the numbers are what? She tells me that one's dead, so you're out of date again. No, sorry, you... If you want to be cool, don't do that anymore because I'm doing that and obviously I'm not cool. So, right? Yeah, so work on something else. And you can get in trouble in school by doing that, I guess. I've just heard from some of the students and teachers all over the country are trying to find a way to combat this most annoying. I mean, I guess there's worse problems, right? But it's just particularly annoying. Guess what? It'll be forgotten. And it'll be more than forgotten. Just like I don't even know how many shopping days are left for Christmas. The last time I said it, I was wrong. Somebody said, you're wrong. And I was. She was correct. So I got corrected. So it's coming up. in a couple months, and there'll be some toy, right, that you can't get that costs a ton of money, and it's not gonna be worth anything in a couple of years, and then in 50 years it'll be priceless, and you can buy a new home with it. But in 5 years, it won't be worth anything. Things go up and down. Everything goes up and down. The might of nations, the might of humanity, you know, the weapons, the bow, you know, the chariot, the spear. This is how you controlled people. This is how you got money, you got power, you took over. You were as if you were God yourself. You know, you're playing the role of God in the world with this power. And God says, it's all going to go away. And so you see, now look at the imagery of the psalm, earthquakes and shatterings and mountains into the sea and armies just being demolished and all of it kind of just being wiped away. And what are we to do? What are we to do as we watch all of this? And we know it's true. We see it happening. Even in our brief lifetimes, we can see this, the truth of these words and the power of God. And so what does he say? He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, not someone else, not some other army, not whoever has the most bows and spears and chariots. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I made that ground that collapsed underneath you. I made that sea that you're going to drown in. I made it all, says God. I'm in charge, and I'm with you. Trust me. His favorite and famous promise is that he will be with us. That's how it ended in Matthew chapter 28. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Another fancy kind of Bible way of saying, I'm just going to be with you all the time. We're going all the way together, all the way to and through the end. I'm with you. That is what God is saying here. And as we step back and look at the whole of Psalm 46, we realize that all these things that we're working on, we're striving with, they need to stop. I mean, this is why we're here right now, you know, or why we're watching online. We're stopping the week. We're stopping our work. We're stopping our lives. Whatever they are, whatever they're looking like, we're stopping them right here, right now. We're going to stop and listen and be together and be with him. And salvation itself is described as stopping. It's called a Sabbath. Sabbath is the day. 6 days you work, the seventh day you stop. And so there's this pattern established by God, and it's a good pattern. And so we're here stopping because our salvation is about stopping. He's called the Lord of the Sabbath, and salvation is called entering the Sabbath. And it doesn't mean, you know, observe one day a week. It means stop. Stop with your self-improvement, self-salvation project. Stop being your own Lord and Savior. When we come to Christ, we come to the point where we realize all our efforts, all our attempts at making the scale work in our favor. I do more good than bad. No, it doesn't work. None of that works. Not that we ought not to do more good than bad, of course, but it's never enough. And so every one of our religions, the religions that we come up with, and we all have come up with our own religions as well as tacking on to others, every one of them is about us doing more and trying harder. And the next seven steps, these three steps, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Stop. Stop. Let's take a look at that other translation. There it is. Desist. Desist from all of that. You are not God. Realize that I am God, says God. That goes way beyond therapy. That's a source of real peace. He's God. And you might be here and you might be so frustrated with your life. You might be dealing with all kinds of disappointment, barely hanging on. You might be so close to losing your temper because of your frustration. Realize, first of all, that there's a ton of people in the room who can totally relate to you and feel the same way. Stop. Just let go. You don't have to let God. That's saying, let go and let God. It seems to imply that we give him permission to be God. Okay, you can be God today. No, that's not how it works. Stop. Realize that I am God. And then, I mean, this is a little strong, maybe for all of us, but it's a valid translation of the Hebrew. I dominate the nations. I dominate the earth. What's dominating you right now? Is it something else, someone else besides God? Something you're driven by? Something that you're anxious for? Boy, it is running the show. What is that? Stop. Stop. It's not God. If it's not God, it's not God. Stop. Realize that I am God. I got this. Everything's going to go wrong. If you're with me, you're going to be okay. Everything's going to be hard. Your heart's going to be broken. And I'm with you. I got that heart. No matter what you're going through, know that I'm going through it with you, says God. I'm the one. Remember how the whole thing started. He's our refuge. He's our help. He's our safe place. He's God. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much. As I think about my own story, I think about the stories of so many stories I know, just looking out and seeing faces and knowing stories of how you have worked in our lives, how you have called us to yourself, how we have all gotten tangled up in the details of our lives, details of our opinions, our thinking. Lord, with your help, by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, help us to stop and to realize how good you are. How good your promises are, how much we desire you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if anyone is here and they kind of brought the storm in with them, Lord, we want to pray for that storm, and so we do. We pray that the waters would stop as well. You commanded the storm to stop. Do that inside the hearts here that need it now. Hearts watching online that need it now. Stop. I'm God. I'm in control. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you declared victory over all of what we do, all the stuff you're telling us to stop. You won through your death, Lord Jesus. Through what you did for us on the cross. All the stuff we're afraid of. Lord, it says right there in Hebrews chapter 2 that you conquered the power of the evil one in conquering the power of the fear of death. So whatever we're afraid of, Lord, help us to hear your command to it. Stop. Your command to us. Stop. Desist. Be still. Now. Be still and believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your ministry to our hearts. Thank you that we can see as we just look at these words just for a little bit of time, we can see just how much you really do love us and want the best for us and give us your best. Thank you, Lord. Breathe peace now into every troubled heart, just like that river. And cause us to all be cheered and uplifted by you, not by ourselves, not by something we need to now go do, not anything like that, but just you and your word and your presence and your Holy Spirit here with us now. Thank you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.